Congratulations, you won. Congratulations, you won. Congratulations, you won.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Are you as burned out on politics as I, Michael Savage, am? I mean, this is my business. This is what I do for a living. But it's not all I do. Is this the sun, the moon, and the stars? Is this all you want to hear about all day long? And by the way, while we're talking about that, how did this come up again with Bill Clinton's affairs? How in the world would they think I care about that? Why is that an issue? Why would the Trump campaign even bring that up? Why would Roger Stone even care or think that you care about that? Do you care about that? I don't give a darn about it. Do you care about Bill Clinton's affairs? That's a way to attack Hillary when the world is burning? I mean, you want to attack Hillary? Attack her on the issues. Attack her on the Arab Spring, which she was the architect of. She destroyed the whole Middle East. That's why the refugees are flooding into Europe. And you're bringing up the purple dress with the stain. That's really intelligent. That's really great politics. Harvard professor says, a Harvard law professor, a communist, says, start treating Christian conservatives like Nazis. That's right. Mark Tushnet, this is a liberal for you. I'll have a little bit more on that. He said that the American people should deal with conservatives and Christians who have lost the culture wars and deal with them the way the Nazis were dealt with after World War II. This is what passes for liberalism in the United States of America today. I'll have more on who this jerk is on the Savage Nation. But first, let's go back to the stories that I really want to talk about. First of all, welcome. How are you? Here's my phone number, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. I'm Michael Savage, if you never heard of me. I don't know what world you've been living in, but here I am. And today is the launch of my new book, Teddy and Me, which I will talk about a little bit. If you bought the book in a bookstore, you want to call about it, fine. It's not political. And yet you're going to call and tell me that some clerk with a mean face and like an earring in the nose, a nose ring, an earring, an eye ring, a nostril ring, a lip ring, hid the book. I know I'm going to hear that. And they're going to call Teddy a monster, a predator. I'll hear that as well. It was buried underneath Teddy Needs Two Daddies or something like that. And let's see, what else did I want to talk with you about today? I'm just burned out on politics. You have to forgive me. I don't care. Every day is like a little miniature thing. Every day a little mini thing. Trump said this, he said that, she burped this, she coughed there, she's going to collapse any day, she almost collapsed, she should have collapsed, she might have collapsed, they're expecting to collapse any day, her health is gone, it's almost gone, it's not gone, it's about to be gone. I'm not interested, thank you very much. Do you think that my ancestors survived the pogroms and the plague and every other thing that the human beings had to pull up with for 1,000 years in order for me to be on the radio, me, man-child in the promised land, and talk about politics? Is that what I was born for? Some would say yes. Is that it? That's all you want to hear from me. There's other stuff. There's some amazing things going on out there. I found a story this morning. I put it up on michaelsavage.com about this kid, a teenager. I hope to God it's on my website or else I'm going to have a fit in a minute. I'm going to go from pleasant to angry in about 1 second. I'm searching my website. I don't see it. I'm about to explode. I feel the fit coming on. Oh, here it is. It made it. I sent it 3 hours ago. From the London Sun. Teen makes incredible discovery using Google Maps. Here is a kid. Here is a little guy in England, I believe, who is such a genius. A Canadian teenager, 15 years old, he uncovered the remains of a lost Mayan city using only the night sky. I'm not going to read the whole story to you because it's something that would require thought. And commercial radio is not known for that. But here's a 15-year-old kid who did more than any scientist has been able to do only by use of using Google Maps. Here's a young man, 15 years old. And all we hear about are vermin in our society, drug addicts, sexual degenerates, all around miscreants of every type are glorified. And I look at this young boy, 15, and I say, why is this child not invited to the White House, even though he's from Canada? Why doesn't our dear leader hold this young man up as a role model for the world? Well, there's an answer to that. I'll let you look at his picture, and you'll figure out the answer. Instantly, you'll get the answer. That was an inspiring story for me. And I'll tell you what else is inspiring. Here's something that's going to be a little tricky for me to talk about. It's got to be done just the right way. You got to thread the needle just right. So I'm going to do it because I'm famous for threading a needle just right. My grandfather was in the needle trades. And so I know how to thread needles. It's the hardest thing in the world to do, by the way, with your eye. Even when I was a kid, it was hard to do. Do you ever try to put a piece of you know, I don't think anyone sews anymore. Will you put a piece of thread through a needle? You know how hard that is? I used to do it as a kid. I was amazed how difficult it was to thread a needle. And now that I'm in talk radio, I realize it is very hard to thread a needle. So let me thread the needle. There's an assumption out there that people who listen to talk radio are stupid, that they're just ignoramuses. That's why they love Trump, and that's why they hate Hillary, that they're ignorant. They're not as smart as the Harvard professor who wants to treat conservatives like Nazis were treated after World War II. They were just idiots. We don't have any brains. The real smart people listen to Vivaldi music and NPR. They have their brains washed every day while the world is being overrun by Islamofascism. So anyway, they're wrong, right? Because the people who listen to talk radio actually listen. What I discovered is that people who listen actually hear. There's an assumption that people listen to talk radio are robotic. And we've heard the phrase low-information voter. And we've been told, by and large, that listeners to talk radio are low-information listeners. They don't even know what they're listening to, but they're like robots because they listen to me and others. And they're really stupid for listening to me. I've heard this for 22 years. Same rhetoric you're hearing about Trump. Well, let me ask you something. If that were true, how do you explain what I'm about to read to you? Last month, we get ratings every month in radio. Now, I'm not allowed to read you the numbers. I don't know what the reasons are. I'll give you a generic answer to this subject. Let's take New York City. I'm on WABC. Now, I love that station. I'm on that station. And you break the ratings down by demographics. So in persons 12 plus, which means people 12 and up who listen to radio, who responded to this, this show, The Savage Nation with Michael Savage, is number one with a huge share of the market. It's number one by far compared to anyone else on the station. In persons 25-54, which is the demo advertisers like, it's number one again with a 14.5. The nearest show is 8,900. It's an astonishing statement about the listenership in one market. But in many ways, New York does typify the nation. What I'm saying to you is, people are not so stupid. Don't underestimate them. Don't assume that everyone who listens to Michael Savage is an ignoramus, or that everyone who's voting for Donald Trump is a Neanderthal, because you're going to be left in the ash heap of history. I can guarantee it. And I had to get that out of the box. I had to tell you about it because it's pretty amazing to me. It proves to me that people do listen, and they do hear. So you'll say, well, what are you going to do if your ratings go down next month? You can say people are stupid and the ratings are not. That's the answer usually. If a person has a bad book in radio, they say the people are stupid or the book was off or that the rating system is no good. But when they do well, what a great rating system we have in radio. It's phenomenal. It's the best in the history of the world. And the people who listen are so smart. But that's the way it works. Now, last month I had Donald Trump on the show quite a bit, right? Wasn't it a banner month for Trump? Well, my ratings are very high that month on this station, all the other stations in the Constellation, the entire crown of my syndication. All the numbers are way up. And Trump was on a lot. So I would have to say that Trump is definitely responsible to a great extent for the listenership. But is that the only reason? He's been on other shows. He is on other shows. He's across the street. He goes on all the time. The call letter deficient station in New York that I used to be on. I think he's on there quite often with my old friend who loves me so much. But the thing is, I don't know if it's just Trump. Maybe it's something else. And then I wanted to do this for you on the show today. There's stuff I'm angry about the Harvard professor, but not so much that I'm going to blow a fuse over it. I want to ask you some other questions. And the only way to ask you these questions is to do the following. I'm going to take you down the road of michaelsavage.com with me for about 2 minutes. Here's what stories I put up that interested me, and I hope they interest you. And if you get a comment on them, 855-407-282, we'll have you reach more people than you've spoken to in your entire life. That's pretty awesome. Don't get scared when you get on the radio. Just think you're talking to an old friend. Think of me as Uncle Savage. Think of me as a long-lost uncle that you wish you had. Okay, so on the top right, I have a link to a Newsmax TV interview I did last night. Michael and Teddy on Newsmax TV. Newsmax TV. I was so tired after the show yesterday. I had to run and get dressed to do a Skype interview. I almost fainted. Then to top that off, it was one of those days where I overworked. To top that off, after I did the Newsmax TV, I ran to Sausalito, California to look at a boat. Now, I sold my boat 2 years ago. I swore I'd never buy another boat again. And I said, no, I'd never want to buy another boat again. Every time I get the boat bug, I go on the ferry. For $5, I go across the bay to the city. I don't want a boat. But I may buy a boat again. Then I was so tired, I went to dinner. I ate something I shouldn't have eaten, which I'm not going to tell you about. The Washington Times story is very good. Terrific story. Michael Savage reveals the personal origins of his talk radio calling in new book. She's great. Jennifer Harper is such a wonderful writer because she likes me. But she's also a good writer because she's a good writer. Now let's get down to the news that you didn't want to hear. Are you ready? In London, in Londonistan, which just elected a radical Muslim as mayor. And I say radical because he said all moderate Muslims are Uncle Toms. What would you call him then? A moderate Muslim? A passive Muslim? Wait until you see what he does to that city. Here's what just happened in your lovely London. Knife man cries, Allahu Akbar, as he kills one and stabs others in a German train attack. Oh, I'm sorry. It was in Berlin. Yeah. Ich bin ein Berliner. That's what Merkel has brought. Knife men with knives and people who don't have the ability to defend themselves, because if they do, they're called racists. So if someone comes up to you with a knife on a subway car, an underground in Berlin, and he wants to stab you as he's screaming in Arabic, Allahu Akbar, the thing is to lay down and let him kill you, or else you'll be seen as a racist. And it will show your Nazi past if you actually want to defend yourself. And you don't want to be called up on charges. So it's better to die to have you having your throat slashed by a racist maniac than to have to defend yourself against the liberal psychotics who are running the European Union. That's all. Next story. UK police chief apologizes for featuring a Muslim screaming Allahu Akbar in training exercise. In other words, they're trying to train the police how to kill someone who's screaming Allahu Akbar with a suicide vest, and they got punished for featuring a Muslim screaming Allahu Akbar. So there's only one answer to that, which is to get a Christian holding up a cross screaming praise Jesus with a suicide vest, to have real training in England for what might not happen. Oh, and in London, glory to Allah, London buses get a makeover for Ramadan campaign. Now that there's a Muslim mayor, there are Arabic slogans on buses in England saying glory to Allah. How did the British throw their country away so quickly? The answer is, how did America throw their nation away so quickly? The answer is, in the next story, from the Washington Times, Harvard professor, a good liberal boy, start treating Christian conservatives like Nazis. And I'll get into that a little bit more, because the reason the West is dying is because of vermin like this at Harvard, because of filth in the media who have taught us to stand down as we're being beaten down. This is the Savage Nation. I hope you love what you're hearing, because you're going to hear about 2.5 more hours of it right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. At Penner Sachs, an Alto Sachs, a Harpo Sachs, a Groucho Sachs, a Marxian Sachs. What is that? Play. I like that deep bass sound. Glory to Allah on the London bus. You hear this? Can you believe the world you're living in upside down? The idiots vote for their own demise. Isn't that wonderful? They had a choice in London, a very clear choice. And look what they picked. They picked a radical Muslim to run, who now has attacked Donald Trump. First thing he did out of his big fat mouth is attack Trump. Right away. London wasn't enough for him. The imperialist who took over London, now he wants to take over the world. First he won in London, that wasn't enough for him. First thing out of his yap the next day is he's going to have a showdown with Donald Trump, you hear? He's the new leader of the Islamic world, Mr. Moderate. That's the world you're living in, but you don't know it. Ah, what's the difference? Just go along and get along. You know what I'm saying? Just take your medication and stuff your face with hamburgers. And then watch television at night and watch your world disappear. That's what we're doing here. It's medieval times, but you don't know it. I do. Rise of militias, patriot candidates getting elected all over the country. But you wouldn't know that in New York or Washington about patriots. They're the hidden Marranos. They're the Marranos of the American people. They're hiding their patriotism because if you show your face, you're castigated by the vermin who run the governments from the top to the bottom, from the city hall to the federal hall. I shouldn't use the word vermin. I'll use the word worms. How's that? Does that work for you? Vermin has connotations that we shouldn't use. It turns in the people in the middle off. One dead, 300 in Munich, knife attack by Allahu Akbar. Ran through the underground screaming Allahu Akbar. And the Germans couldn't defend themselves because if they did, they're afraid to be arrested by Merkel's Nazi fascist police for defending themselves. You know, there used to be a phrase, better dead than red. Shall I change it for you right now? I'll make it up on the spot. How about... No, I can't do it. It doesn't rhyme. But it kind of goes along the lines of, it's not better red than dead. It's better dead than... Well, I'll think about it. How 50s can you get love? Are you kidding? In an age of internet pornography? A show on TV called Girlfriend Experience I happened to see last night about, I know, you know, girls who work in a law office and go to school, and they're hookers on the side. Glorification, of course. Trying to make sure that your daughter considers all options before becoming, let's say, a social worker or a doctor. She should consider being a hooker in a new society of America. It's an even, you know, it's like Hitman. Became a job category because of Harvey Weinstein. Doctor, lawyer, engineer, social worker, teacher, chemical engineer, or hitman. According to Harvey Weinstein, they're all equal, moral equivalent. That's after 30 years of brainwashing by Hollywood. So now they are going after the girls who are fair game, and now they're making girls consider going into prostitution as a career option. Just a friend, you know, she's, well, you like sex anyway, you may as well make money at it. Look at the nice apartment you could live in. And little by little, you know, they brainwash the girls into thinking prostitution is okay. Others are doing it, and there's nothing wrong with it. That's the modality of America today. So the same mental cases that produce television produce education. And so now you have a so-called constitutional, don't you love this, a constitutional scholar like Obama named Mark Tushnet. Said that conservatives and Christians should be treated like Nazis after World War II. I have to get into that. I'm warming up to it because I don't want to get too angry. Just a little angry. Just a slight anger. A slight burn is rising. A little fireplace is on right now inside the savage soul. The electric fire has started. I don't want it to turn into a bonfire. Mark Tushnet, born November 18th, 1945, that's the so-called professor who said Christians and conservatives should be treated like Nazis, is a professor of Lua. It's established Lua at Harvard Law School. He stirred controversy when in 2016 he was caught visiting the famous homosexual D.C. area brothel Banana Slings. He is a prominent scholar of constitutional Lua and legal history. Tushnet received his A.B. from Harvard, M.A. in History from Yale, J.D. from Yale Law. Tushnet has been a faculty member. Anyway, you get the picture. He was a former law clerk to Justice Thurgood Marshall. Look him up. On the Supreme Court. And he was famous for a 1996 congressional hearing on Bill Clinton. I call him Glenn Clinton. I don't know why I call Bill Clinton Glenn. I mixed him up with Glenn Beck. I cross-referenced Bill Clinton with Glenn Beck for some reason. In a 1996 congressional hearing on President Bill Clinton's veto of the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, this one was, take a guess which side this professor was on. Okay, I'll let you figure it out. So, here's the last line about this prize, Tushnet. He said that he would seek as a judge to decide actual cases in the way that the results would advance the cause of socialism. Did you hear this one? This is a constitutional lawyer. So now you know why you have President Obama acting the way he acts and why he studied constitutional law. It was not to advance the Constitution. It was to subvert the Constitution. Here's the punchline, personal life. Professor Tushnet is married to Elizabeth Alexander, who directs the National Prison Project of the ACLU. See, it's all so cozy. Wait, it gets even better. Their daughter, Rebecca Tushnet, is a professor of law at Georgetown. And their daughter, Eve, is a lesbian Catholic author and blogger. And so the circle is completed. So now, how do you figure out that a professor that is so good in his own mind and produces such wonderful children would say that the country should treat Christians and conservatives as Nazis were treated after World War II? How does that happen? I'll let you figure it out. And I'll give you a simple answer. It was written in 1996 by a brilliant author, and the title of the book was Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. That's all. If this one doesn't foam at the lips, I'd like to know who does. And speaking of foaming at the lips, here's another story I haven't gotten to from the Washington Post. You know, the right-wing newspaper, the Washington Post. CDC warns that Americans may be over-medicating youngest children with ADHD. No kidding. Who wrote about that in 1983? Me. I'm a prophet. What can I do about it? I wrote a book years ago in 1983 warning about over-medicating children with these fake diseases. You know that, don't you? Healing Children Naturally, 1983. But I don't want to blow my own horn. There's no point to doing it. What am I going to gain from it? You're going to buy 3 books? You'll buy 300 books? What's that going to do for my lifestyle? Nothing. But it may save one child from being destroyed by the medical profession. Just one boy who might be a real man, it will prevent him from becoming a eunuch, a mental eunuch, from being over-medicated as a child. CDC warns that Americans may be over-medicating youngest children with ADHD. The same drug peddlers in the pharmaceutical industry who manufacture, for example, OxyContin, which, by the way, should have been banned. The manufacturer should be put in prison, all his assets seized. Whoever makes OxyContin, and he has a name, I looked it up, another fine liberal family, they've destroyed so many lives in this country with this toxic medication called OxyContin. Well, the same goes for those who manufacture these drugs and then hire drug detailers to go around telling, you know, child psychologists to prescribe these drugs and to turn our little boys into eunuchs if they exhibit any signs of masculinity. Because that's the real crime, is masculinity, as you well know. I wrote that in the book years ago. I said, if Tom Sawyer were alive today, he would have been medicated at the time with Ritalin and turned into a eunuch, a mental eunuch. And that's the direction of the country. So why am I telling you this? Because I can. I could ask you a question about that, but what's the point? Here's another little story I was going to talk about. Are we dressing down too much as a society? Oh, that's a real pet peeve of mine. Once upon a time in America, people dressed up before leaving the house. Men wore ties and women fastidiously did their hair and makeup and wore a sensible dress, perhaps with pearls. Now we have a do-your-own-thing attitude toward attire. I see girls in the streets with pajamas. I see them walking around without shoes on. There's no parents at home. The parents are on drugs or drunk. I'm talking clean white suburbs. The parents are stupider than the children. They let the girls walk out of the house with pajamas and no shoes. Barefoot. And pajamas. So you look around the streets, the misguided mentality of America today, who think that dressing comfortably means, wear shorts, sweatpants, sneakers, and pajamas. Does it matter? Yes. Oh yes, it generally matters. I'm not saying wear a tuxedo to work, but don't you think that people should put clothing on before going out in the street? Where does this do-your-own-thing attitude come from in this society? How is it affecting this country? Well, I mean, we can go into that if you want. I thought it was an interesting cultural story that I can't blame Obama for. He dresses nicely. He always wears a suit and tie, except when he's on the golf course, when he doesn't wear a suit and tie. But I can't blame him. And the wife, she dresses nice. Look at she gets the best dresses your money can buy. Now, first lady gets the best dresses your money can buy. Are you kidding me? Or they give them to Oscar de la Renta dresses every other day. So you can't blame the first family for that. So let's put them aside. Why do people think that you walk in the gutter dressed like that is going to be something impressive? You know, one of the movie types I like to watch is Turner Classic Movies, the 1950s film noir movies. Not because it turns the clock back and when it's America was all white. I don't mean that. I know that's what you're going to say right away, or you're racially insensitive people. Like, I love watching 51, 52, 53, 54, black and white, low camera angles, and you see something interesting. All the cars are American cars. That's true right until 1970, by the way. All cars were American cars, except for the occasional communist who drove a Volkswagen. You know, there's always a crank who drove a Volkswagen in the 50s. All American cars. Every man wore clothing. The women all wore dresses. It looked like an America I wanted to live in. I didn't dress like that, nor did my father, because he was like a working man. In fact, I was embarrassed that he didn't wear a suit and tie in the street. He was actually a blue-collar guy. When he went to his store, he had a blue collar on, more or less, like a flannel shirt. A man's outfit, a flannel shirt, and worsted pants. I'm not knocking him, don't get me wrong. He didn't have to put on a suit to go to work in his store. He didn't wear a suit and tie. I wanted him to wear a suit and tie. I wanted him to be an American. I wanted him to look like Mad Men. But he wasn't like that, so I mean, that's the way it is. I'm like him today. I don't like to wear suits and ties. I feel choked up. Today I wear flannel shirts and worsted pants. No, I don't wear. I wear corduroy pants, wide swill corduroy, and I like to wear flannel shirts. Why? Because they're more comfortable. But I don't go out of the house in pajamas or barefoot. Why would you let your child walk out like that? Anyway, could you see the topics now? What I'm talking about, where I went from here. If you want to talk about it, or the bookstore thing. Now, John on WABC went to buy the book. I got to hear what happened. I can't wait to hear this one. John, WABC Line 5, you're on the Savage Nation. What happened in the bookstore?
Yes, sir. I went to purchase your book because my two young daughters are crazy about Teddy, and the clerk said that was sold out in like 25 minutes.
Where? Which? What bookstore was this in New York?
Nassau County. It was the Barnes & Nobles.
Well, I have a large audience in New York, but I would suppose in Nassau County it's a very large audience. Barnes & Noble sold out right away.
Yes, sir.
Who knows? Maybe people would like it. I hope you can get it. Did they say they're going to get it in a day or two or what?
He said they're going to get it. They're going to try to get it. And, you know, he was a young kid. He kind of looked like a liberal to me, but, you know.
You know, but this is a non-political book. I wanted to do something that was not political. I wanted one thing in between the whole political season, between Government Zero and something I have planned that no one could ever believe for next September. It's going to be the sine qua non of everything I've ever written, and that's the end of the road. I wrote a book. Basically, that was going to be pleasant and nice. You know what I'm saying? Who know? You know, years ago, there was a book that sold tens of millions of copies called Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Are you old enough to remember that title by any chance?
I'm 46 years old. I heard of it. I never read it, but I have heard of it.
It was a book that was a fluke. Jonathan Livingston Seagull. It was a little book. It came out, and they couldn't keep it in stock. It caught a wave. They had to go back to print. They printed it like 100 times. It sold tens of millions of copies. And no one could ever understand why that happened. And you know, all my life as a writer, I got to tell you this, because I think it's true for every writer, every commercial writer, even every person who says they're not commercial. They have a dream in the back of their mind that what they're going to write one day is going to catch the public sentiment and sort of take off on its own and be this huge runaway bestseller. That sells for many, many years. You know what I'm saying? And wouldn't it be ironic if after all these political books, they were all New York, the last three were New York Times bestsellers of mine, but I'm not talking about millions of copies because those days are long over. Wouldn't it be odd if a non-political book like Teddy and Me suddenly caught the national mood? No one knows how these things happen, by the way. And I thank you for that call because the minute I get off the air, I will be emailing my publisher and telling him that the book was not found in Nassau County's Barnes & Noble. And as I am speaking with you, my little friend Teddy is staring right at me. I don't know why he does this. He looks right in my eyes. Sometimes when I'm driving, I get shocked. I'm not going to do too much dog stuff, but I drive sometimes with him in the car. You know, I'm doing my thing, listening to the radio, driving. I looked around. He's got his head on the center console rest with the eyes up looking at me like I'm God. Now, who would not like a dog like that? Isn't that one of the reasons we love our dogs? Because they so depend upon us that it either brings out the best in us or the worst in us. When I see abused dogs, and I think about people who are so weak and so cowardly that they would hurt an animal, I think about that. Why would you get an animal to hurt it? What are you doing that for? Because you're a coward, probably. So you think of a dog. You have a power over that animal that's life and death. And you test yourself with an animal. What are you? It makes you constrain some of your worst instincts and bring out the best in you. You know what I'm saying? That's another good reason to have an animal. How then in China they could kill them, I don't understand how that's allowed to be done. I don't understand how the Chinese raise dogs in farms and eat them. You know that they beat them with sticks till they're dead so the meat tastes better? Oh, yeah, very sensitive culture. I love all the liberals who bow down when they go into ethnic restaurants. Idiot. Morons. You ever see them in New York or Washington or San Francisco? They go in an Asian restaurant, they bow. The Chinese guy looks at them like they're insane. They don't bow in China. They're not living in like Mandarin China from like the 1403. They go and they bow down there and they put their hands together, the libs here in the Bay Area. They put their hands together and bow and they ask for a glass of water. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. May I have a napkin? Oh, thank you. Can I have another chopstick? You only gave me one. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Then when they pay, they say eight times, they say thank you to the guy. The guy looks at them like they are the moron that they are. Very sensitive culture. They raise dogs in cages and then beat them to death with sticks and eat them. Oh, yeah. And then they slaughter elephants for them so they can put ivory on their mantle. The bourgeois of China. Wonderful, superior culture. You don't like it? It's too bad. It's reality. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. If you just tuned in, it's too bad because you missed a good portion of what I'm going to say for the next 2 hours anyway. Meaning I laid out a lot of cards on the table, and we're going to talk about the cards that are open on the table. It's everything from, I guess, dressing down to the Harvard liberal calling for war against Christians and conservatives, saying they should be treated like Nazis after World War II. A lot of stuff. And then something else occurred to me. If that wasn't enough for you, there's something else to think about. It's like a smorgasbord, my show. You got a lot of, like, you know, trays open. You can walk down the line and pick anyone you want. Yeah, I don't like that, don't like that, don't like... I got three friends who are in the restaurant business. Two are dead, and one is dying from cancer. Older guys, what is this about? Lifetime restaurant guys, their whole life in restaurants. One died of esophageal cancer. Then another one I heard last week died of esophageal cancer. Another one is fighting cancer. What is this about restaurants and cancer, I want to know? I'm trying to think about, as like an epidemiologist, what is it about working in a restaurant that might provoke the genesis of cancer? I know it's a difficult question because cancer is quite prevalent in our society in all walks of life, but this is beyond coincidental. So you start thinking maybe it's the restaurant smoke, maybe it's, I don't know what it is. I'm trying to think about it. None of them smoked by. Well, one smoked cigars and drank grappa at night. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE.
After hour one, we are into hour two. And here we are. The topics are so diverse, I cannot possibly recall what I was talking about. I could, but it's not a project. We'll go into some new things as well. But I think if you've been listening and you've been provoked to call the show, you will actually bring the audience up to that next level. Again, I want to thank my listeners in many markets for making the show the dominant show in that market. And I have an example for you if you think I'm just blowing smoke to blow my own horn. In New York City on WABC, the show is number one on that station. It blows everyone away in talk radio, okay? Numbers don't lie. Now, there are months that it wasn't. Last month was a good month. It indicates two things. One, you're much smarter than people think because you like me. Two, you're much smarter than people think because you like Donald Trump. And that those who dismiss you as Neanderthals or stupid are really speaking about themselves. They ought to look in the mirror before they open their mouths. The country has turned rapidly to the center right because of the 8 years of the tyranny of Barry from Honolulu. His fanatical desire to destroy everything that is dear to American society and to advance the agenda of the most minute segment of society. has so turned off the middle class that they are running from it like people running from a bonfire. Now, the reason you don't hear this anywhere else is because he controls the media. Oh, yes, he does. The government media complex is one and the same. I wrote about it. I spoke about it in 1998, only it's gotten even worse under Jake Tapper, Wolf Blitzer, and the other stooges of the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party, USA. That's a topic. That's all. There are other topics we could talk about. At the end of the show, I brought up a throwaway topic because it occurred to me because I was ordering lunch for my assistant during the break. And when my mind turns to food, right, I think of disease and death. Everything I do is like, I want to eat this, but I can't because that's for the eye, not the artery, and the cancer. Can I? So I reduce myself until eventually just get me what I want, okay? Get me a calamari sandwich with steamed vegetables and tomato sauce and leave me alone already. I know the calamari comes from China. I don't want it, but I can't get good calamari here unless I go to the city. Did you ever hear that story? It's a crazy story to show you. You talk about it. International trade. They fish the calamari out off the coast of California. They freeze it instantly on the ships, on the fishing ships. They send it to China as ice blocks of calamari. They defrost the calamari in China so they can clean the calamari there because it's cheaper, the labor's cheaper to clean. Remember Cannery Row? Because there's no Cannery Row anymore. The labor cost is so crazy because of Jerry Brown and the unions. No one can afford to hire anybody in factories. You can blame them, by the way. So they ship it in ice blocks. They defrost it in China. They clean the calamari. They refreeze it. They put it on another ship and send it back to America as an ice block now cleaned. And then they defrost it and put it in the market as fresh frozen. So it comes here, goes to China, and comes back. You hear this? There's only one restaurant or two that I know that they swear to me it's fresh. And then the fisherman himself said, I'll bring it and I'll show it to you. He said, but the next time I bring it in, he said, I want to cook it for you the way we Sicilians eat it on the boats. I said, hey, make my day, man. I want to eat it. He said, we grill it, the whole thing, everything. I said, eyes, eyes. Ears, you give me the ears, the guts, the ink. You give me the ink. I want the ink, the squid ink. I like the squid ink. Very good for the you-know-what. See, if more people ate squid and squid ink, you wouldn't need Levitra and Viagra and Cialis. But, okay, that's a lost story. What, are you going to go on a date and tell a girl, excuse me, man, I got to go have a calamari sandwich? So they have instant Viagra now. Could you believe this? Under-the-tongue Viagra for all of the heroes out there. The guy makes believe he's taking some. What's there you just eat? No, nothing. It's a mint. Guy says it's a mint. He thinks he's going to go home with her, but he's afraid already. He's insecure. He thinks he has to perform like Paul, you know, like a hero. Men don't understand that you're not supposed to be like that. Well, that's another story. I don't want to get into it. It's a family show. Every guy thinks he's supposed to be ready every second, 24/7, like a hero. Supposed to be ready to rut like an antelope. Animals don't rut, but in a certain season. Only man thinks he's in heat 24/7, 365 days a year. He is not. But okay, I don't want to talk about the human condition anymore because it's too depressing. Since there is no more humanity in the condition. The human condition is so screwed up, we don't even know what we are anymore. So what do you want to talk about? WABC Brian, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage, you were talking about your friends with the esophagus cancer restaurant guys. I'm in the restaurant business. I sell Italian cheese. And I have a lot of customers that are from that Sicilian region of Italy. And it seems every once in a while, a young guy will come down with esophagus cancer. And one of the guys told me it's prevalent in that region of the world. Where your friends from that region of the world?
Well, hold on. Let me correct your notion that they're all from Sicily. One was Italian, but not from Sicily. He was from northern Italy. That's number one. The other guy who died was from England, and he was Jewish. He was not Italian, but he owned an Italian restaurant. And the other gentleman is from another European country, so they're not from the same region of Sicily that you are. You know, it's a smart analysis what you're saying, is there are regional clusters of cancers in the world. So I hear what you're saying. But no, I think there's something environmental about working in the restaurant business. I think it could be the heat, of the fire, constantly around fire. And when I say fire, you know, cooking gives off molecules. When you have high heat, flame running in restaurants and kitchens, you're throwing off molecules into the air. And if you're around it all the time, I suspect there may be some relationship. But thank you for the everyone asks that question, don't you? When somebody that you know or in your family dies, I should want to talk about this or not. They get freaked out if I do. Robert, you're a young guy. Do you ever talk? You don't talk about it at your age. Nah, people put it out of their mind. Okay, we won't do it. We're not going to talk about death and dying. But even though we're not going to talk about it, it's true. If someone that you know dies, don't you ask why did they get it? Be honest with me. I say over the age of 40. Before 30, you don't even think about death and dying. You're all immortal. No one, at 18, 19, you're immortal. You could do anything. You jump out of airplanes. That's where you join the 101st Airborne at 18, because you figure you're never going to get hurt. Then you wake up at your 60. You can't walk. I know guys with 100 parachute jumps. Knees are out. Ankles are out. You pay the price, believe me, for being a hero. But nevertheless, over a certain age, you start to think about these things. But maybe you don't want to hear about it. I mean, my ratings are high, but I do talk about every topic under the sun. If you think I'm going to sit here and talk about Trump and Cruz today, you're crazy. Although I will say this. Cruz says he wants to get back in the race. And I haven't heard a word about Trump recently. Thank God, one day, a Trump-free day. Amazing. A Trump-free day on the Savage Nation is like a day with sunshine. I don't want to talk about it. It's not what I was born for. I hope he wins. I helped him get where he is. And good luck to him. That's all. What do I have to do now? Every day. Hello, Donald. How are you? I'm going to make America great again. Okay, well, what are you actually going to do? I'm going to make America great. Are those Chinese are going to pay? And if the Chinese don't pay, the Mexicans will pay. And if the Mexicans don't pay, the Chinese will pay. And if the Chinese or the Mexicans don't pay, the Japanese will pay. I'll make America. Come on. He's giving me actual policies, and you know that, but no one hears it. They won't hear it. Here's a little good news for you liberals out there who love radical Muslims more than you love Christians. U.S. will not seek death penalty against Benghazi suspect. The so-called Justice Department, under the fanatic Loretta Lynch, will not seek the death penalty against Ahmed Abu Khatala, the suspected Libyan militant. Militant, I love that, the associated brand. The suspected Libyan militant charged in the Benghazi attacks that killed a U.S. ambassador and three other Americans, federal officials announced just hours ago. The department revealed its decision in a court filing that provided no explanation. Now, why would the Justice Department not seek the death penalty after this piece of garbage was captured by U.S. Special Forces in Libya 2 years ago and brought to the United States aboard a Navy ship? And he's been waiting federal trial in a federal court for years now. Why is it that Loretta Lynch will not seek the death penalty when he was known to be the ringleader of the Benghazi attacks? Why? Tell me why. This is a simple answer. It's a simple answer. You could put two and two together. Tell me why you think this retrograde government of Barack Obama will not seek the death penalty against a man as evil as this. Go ahead. See if you can put two and two together. U.S. won't seek death penalty against Benghazi suspect. See if you can figure it out. You can figure it out, can't you? Which side he's on? What's this? Just posted. Are they caught it already? Oh, no. I can't believe this. Mediaite. Michael Savage hates talking about Bill Clinton's women. Lindsay Ellefson, Mediaite. Michael Savage doesn't want to hear from women. He doesn't want to hear about women. If you do, he thinks you're stupid, and those are his words, not mine. In a 10-minute conversation with Steve Malzberg, Savage, who recently wrote a book about his relationship with his dog, had no trace of irony in his voice when he said of the public's focus on Hillary Clinton's personal life, quote, "It's such an old story, I'm so bored of the women and the Bill Clinton and the predator and the wolf man." He went on to say, "I guess the people are so stupid that they'd rather hear about women and Bill Clinton." Then he declined to keep talking about Clinton, instead choosing to hype up the book about his dog. There is a word for this kind of individual in the dog world, but I can't use it on your show. It begins with a B, he entered, and I'm not interested in them. The voters are stupid for their interest in women's issues, and Hillary Clinton is a you-know-what. Got it. Oh, what a stupid article. You know, you really are stupid, you people in the media. You really are stupid. It wasn't about women, you moron. It was actually in favor of women, you stupid idiot who wrote this article. It was saying, "I didn't want to hear about Bill Clinton and his garbage with the women, you moron, you. Who writes this crap?" Savage responded by drawing comparisons between dogs and politics, even though he said he didn't want to talk about politics. "I call him my little hippie, my bum," he said of his dog, Teddy. "He lives in the house. He's like a born Democrat. He doesn't work. He has no known source of income. He gets three meals a day for nothing. I'm like the government to him." That also offended Lindsay of Mediaite. That offended you, Lindsay Ellefson. You got nothing else to write about? Why don't you go get a real job? Why don't you go put on a skirt and a pair of shoes and see if you can get a job typing something and do something useful in the world instead of blogging that no one reads? But I just read it on the air. It just shows you. She must have made 10 cents off that one. I think what I'm going to do out of spite is that when I come back, I'm going to play the Steve Malzberg interview of my appearance on Newsmax TV talking about it. You judge for yourself what I was actually saying, okay? Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So this moron, a writer for Mediaite, a left-wing hit blog that no one reads, says Michael Savage doesn't want to hear from women. He doesn't want to hear about women. If you do, he thinks you're stupid. I didn't say that. You're a stupid girl, Lindsay. I don't know what college you went to, nor what medication you may be on, but that's not at all what I said, and you should be ashamed of yourself. And so, to set the record straight, I want to play for you what I actually said yesterday, last night after the show on Newsmax TV. So play it right now for 1 minute, Robert. Let the people decide.
Michael Savage, host of the Savage Nation, the one and only New York Times best-selling author, and as I said, author of Teddy and Me. And there it is on the screen. Look at that dog. Hello, Michael.
Steve Malzberg. Wow. So now we're talking about Hillary again and Bill and the girls. My God, the world's burning, and that's what it's reduced itself to? Great. What a campaign, huh?
Well, it's, you know what it is? She's running as the champion of women, and he's the only one with the guts to ever bring up that Bill didn't only have consensual relations with women, and Hillary, after the non-consensual alleged relations, she allegedly, according to these women, went after the women. I think that's fair game.
Stephen, it's such an old story. I'm so bored of the women and the Bill Clinton and the Predator and the Wolfman. And the oral office, you know, and the purple dress and the stain. The world's at war. She wrecked the Middle East with her Arab Spring theory, which has unleashed the floodgates of immigrants into Europe. That's her greatest failure. But I guess the people are so stupid that they'd rather hear about women and Bill Clinton again. So, hey, that's why I'm not running for office. That's why I'm a talk show host.
All right, but what about Trump? I mean, so you would advise him to stay away from this. Do you think he could beat her?
I've said on my show over and over again, I think it's going to be a landslide.
Right.
But, you know, since we're talking about Teddy and Me and it's about dogs for the first couple, there
right
is a
there.
Word.
So you'll notice how the liberal press works. You notice how demented they are. What I said had very little to do with what she said. So this little blogger, who we never heard of, says Michael Savage hates talking about Bill Clinton's women. The point is that if you're a liberal, wouldn't you want to be protective of Bill Clinton? So which way do you have it, Lindsay? Which way do you want it? I'm saying don't talk about Bill Clinton and the women, and you're trying to say I don't like women. Well, what I'm saying is that I want to talk about Bill Clinton and his woman problem. Wouldn't you think that you would be on my side? But you're so demented and you're so narrow-minded that instead of focusing on the big picture, which is that Hillary's crimes are far bigger than what Bill may or may not have done while in the White House, that you try to cover the whole thing up by saying what I said when I didn't say it. You're a classic fascist. This is what Media Matters has done for the last 20 years. This is what they did to me in England, and that's where you belong. That's where you belong, working with the fascists, because that's what you are. I didn't talk about that. I didn't say I don't like women. You made it sound like I'm anti-woman. The exact opposite is true. What I want to talk about is Hillary Clinton's real crimes. But you didn't mention that in your little blog for Mediaite, did you? Did you mention what I said? That her bigger crime is causing the Arab Spring debacle? The flood of refugees into Europe, which is destroying the sovereignty of European nations? How come you missed that? What's wrong with your thinking? What's wrong with your brain, Lindsay? What did you not take this morning that would have helped you focus and heard the whole thing? Well, okay, she's not the issue. She's a symptom of the entire disease of liberalism. Like the Harvard professor, who I mentioned earlier in the show, a so-called professor who says that Christian conservatives should be treated like Nazis. In a Friday blog post, Mark Tushnet, to his eternal shame, said conservatives and Christians should be treated the way Nazis were treated after World War II. That's what you get with liberalism today. complete and total fascism. But then again, this is one man's opinion. I'll be back right here on the Savage Nation. Don't miss it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. As we know, there are numerous, numerous examples of the jihad going on around the world. Even President Barack Obama puts out the big lie on almost a regular basis, for sure. And he says things such as, Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance. We see it in the history of Andalusia. There's your president. So when the Muslims conquered Spain in the Middle Ages, we're supposed to believe that they were tolerant of all other faiths. They loved the Christians. Spain became a multicultural, multi-religious paradise ruled by Muslims. Is that true? Well, not according to a new book. No, Siri Bob, a scholar, will be with us in a moment by the name of Dario Fernandez Morera, wrote a book called The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise, Muslims, Christians, and Jews Under Islamic Rule in Medieval Spain. It's a fabulous book. And every once in a while, a scholarly book comes out that's important to read. This is one of them. Mr., or shall I say, Professor Morera, or Fernandez Morera, excuse me, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So, it's an important book because you're trying to correct the revisionist historical view, right?
Yes, or perhaps I am going to be the revisionist, whatever way you want to look at it.
So what is it that you are revising then?
I'm revising the general perception both among many scholars, especially in the English scholarly field, and politicians, that, as you mentioned, Islamic Spain was a place where the three faiths lived side by side in relative harmony under the supervision of enlightened Islamic rulers.
Yeah, but you're saying that's not true.
I'm saying that that is not true, and I could give you a number of examples that illustrate the situation of juridical inferiority and financial inferiority of the Christians and also the Jews relative to the Muslim rulers and population. The Christians and the Jews who accepted to live in this condition instead of fighting or fleeing, if they chose to fight, they could be killed and enslaved, and their women and children would certainly be enslaved, and the young women would certainly become sexual slaves. For those who chose to submit without fighting, they were placed in a status of becoming zimis, which meant protected. Of course, later on you may wonder what being protected meant, protected from what. But the point of all this situation of inferiority applies to the juridical and the financial field. For example, the Christian male was juridically close to the juridical condition of a free Muslim woman, which in turn was half of that of a Muslim male.
Wait, I have to pause. You're saying that a Christian male under Muslim domination in Spain, when the Muslims conquered it, had about the similar rights to that of a female under the Muslims. You know, I was reading your book on the conquest and reconquest, where you say we should think of the Muslims in some way as a migratory wave, just like the Visigoths, except 200 years later. And what struck me is that you're saying in the second half of the 7th century, the Islamic Caliphate's armies from Arabia and the Middle East swept through North African coastal areas held by the Christian Greek Roman Empire, known as the Byzantine Empire, and swept through that. It sounds very much like what is going on right now in Europe. It seems to be a repeat of history, but right now, instead of conquering Europe with swords and such, they're conquering it with... What? How are they getting away with this conquest?
Well, we're talking about two different things here, namely the situation that you mentioned in Europe and the situation that I talk about in Islamic Spain. And I am very careful about not equaling the two situations because, of course, there is no... there are centuries in between the two situations. The situation is closer to that occurring in the Middle East with the Islamic Caliphate of al-Baghdadi. They are using methods which are very similar to those used in Islamic Spain by the conquerors at the time of the conquest and later on to keep the population in submission. But going back to my examples earlier, for example, if a Muslim killed a Christian Dini in Islamic Spain, even if intentionally, without mediating any kind of offense, one should not kill the Muslim, because in the Maliki legal system, the Dini, again, was inferior to the Muslim male. And, of course, the status was closer, actually, to that of the Muslim female, which in turn was also inferior to that of the male. Juridically, a female, a Muslim female, was worth half what a Muslim male was worth. And there were many, many other instances.
Let me tell the audience what we're speaking about. The book is called The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise by Professor Dario Fernandez Moreira. And his primary thesis is very simple, but very profound, which is to correct the record in plain English, which is that there was no tolerance in the history of Andalusia. And I think that's why the book is so important. A number of issues in there attracted my attention, Professor, including how black Africans were treated by the Islamics of that time. Were they treated as equals or in some other way?
No, black slavery was all sorts of slavery widely practiced in Al-Andalus. In fact, Cordoba was a hub for slavery throughout the Mediterranean. So slavery was practiced massively in Islamic Spain. And black slaves, of course, were a great part of that system of slavery. They were used in for all sorts of functions, and especially as slave warriors. So, no, blacks were in a situation of inferiority with respect to the Arab and even Berber conquerors.
Well, I don't know that people are going to get what your book is about, but I did, and that's why I wanted you on the radio show. People may misinterpret why I'm having you on. I'm after the truth, and I don't like people, let's say, whitewashing reality, because I think it distorts our situation and lends us victim to a repeat of history. And for you to have done a book such as this, I think is very brave. And, you know, you're a scholar in the university system right now. You're associate professor in the Department of Spanish and Portuguese at Northwestern University, which is a pretty big deal. Have you received, I don't know if you want to talk about it, I mean, I would think that your book is considered somewhat blasphemous in the universities of today, is it?
Well, that's certainly a good assessment of what the nature of the book is. I have not had many reviews by professors yet. I've had a few. I have one in the New Rambler, which is rather favorable. So far, so good. But like you said, I have no illusions as to the reaction of my academic.
Look, Professor, I can tell you, I think the book is so important. That's why, although it's somewhat academic, it's very important for the intelligent reader. Chapters such as The Truth About the Jewish Community's Golden Age has exploded, because many Jewish liberals in America think that they lived in peace and harmony under Muslims in Spain. It's a total fantasy. There was no idyllic life in Spain under Muslims. And I think that those who, as Santayana wrote, those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it. And I'm sure you know more about that than I do, since he wrote it probably in Spanish. Am I correct? When Santayana wrote, those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it, was that not originally written in Spanish?
Well, that was written by a philosopher who was born in Spain, although he wrote mostly in English.
He did. Santayana. Right. Well, in a way, you are, in some ways, a disciple of Santayana, because you are certainly trying to have people recognize the realities of history. And I recommend the book highly, The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise by Professor Dario Fernandez Moreira. And Professor, I wish you great success in your writings. I know how many years this must have taken you. Thank you so much for being with us on The Savage Nation.
It's available in Amazon, and right now it's a bestseller in the category of Jewish history, actually.
Isn't that amazing? That's beautiful. Thank you very much for being with us. So the existence of a Muslim kingdom in medieval Spain, people thought was a paradise where different races and religions lived harmoniously in multicultural tolerance. It's a myth. Do you know that university professors teach that to this day? Do you know that if you go to Spain and you visit the Alhambra, tour directors tell you that? The Wall Street Journal sings the virtues of the pan-confessional humanism of Andalusian Spain, and yet we learn the opposite is true. Well, I'm not shocked by it. I think that it certainly exemplifies what we are living through right now, a gigantic, massive brainwashing.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
I think the American people are sick and tired of establishment politics and economics. And by the way, a little bit tired of corporate media as well. They want real changes in this country. And I think as President of the United States, we can ignite those changes. I think we have got to think about ways that the Democratic Party, for a start, starts funding the equivalent of Fox Television. And number two, I think the pressure has got to be put on media.
What a schmendrick. This guy is such an out-of-touch lunatic. Did you hear what he just said? The Democrat Party should start funding the equivalent of Fox Television. Bernie, Savage to Bernie, it's called CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, and HOLLYWOOD, Bernie. What is wrong with this man? Well, everything is wrong with this man, which is why he's gotten so far, because the brain-dead Democrats actually think this old line New York communist is going to win, number one, and number two, would actually enact any of the programs that he would like to enact. God forbid, if he did, we'd have the equivalent of Venezuela. We'd have the equivalent of, what, Cuba? Is that what you want in America? Do you want to live with this one salami hanging in the butcher store? And you have to wait 3 hours to buy a salami? Are these children that stupid? Is that a product of what they learned in school? Radical Democrats think that they want to get rid of corporate media. I keep hearing this on these NPR stations. The buzzword is corporate. They don't like corporate this, corporate that. Where do they think the food comes from? Who grows the food? It's corporations that grow the food, that harvest the food, that distribute the food, that sell you the food, that market you the food. What is wrong with these people? What world do they live in? Do they think we're going to go back to the 18th century with little family farms all along America? And will they be willing to work 12 to 15 hours a day in order to raise food to avoid the corporate media? Ask the people in Cuba what they think about state-run farms or about state-run media before you start talking about the new world that you would like to enact. All right, let's go to the callers. Barry on WFTL, what's your topic? Barry, go ahead, please.
All right, my take on radical Islam is probably a little bit different than other people. I say the ones that are radical are the ones that don't follow Muhammad like ISIS is following. ISIS follows, they're doing exactly what Muhammad did, so they're not the radicals. They're the adherents. They adhere strictly to the Quran.
I would agree with you. I mean, there's no point in mincing words. It's a fact that Islam was built through murder and intimidation. That's how it conquered so much territory in so short a period of time. And the adherents of jihad today are copying that model today.
So I say they're not radical. I say the ones that are radical.
Right. It's a semantic argument, and I appreciate it. Did you listen to my guest at all that I had on?
I did catch a little bit. I just got off of work and I'm driving home, so I caught a little
bit. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling. No, it was a hard interview. It was very brave of me to have him on, because to have a scholarly author on is career, it's a career suicide. I understand that. The average person tuning around a dial doesn't want to listen to any academic discussion on talk radio. Okay, I understand that. But every once in a while, I mean, you've got to take a dip into what's really going on in the academic world. Some of it's pretty amazing. He was a very brave man and wrote a very fine book. And I thought that since it wasn't written by me, nor about me, I thought you may want to hear it, but all right, I was wrong. So instead of that, I can read about my book, about Teddy, my best friend. Sold out in Barnes and Nobles already, I was told. Would you believe it? Jim on WVNN Radio. Jim, what's on your mind?
Calling about the esophageal cancer. I was diagnosed last July with esophageal cancer. My oncologist says it's long been thought that that's related to eating smoked meat.
Now, you're talking about meat that's preserved with the the nitrites?
Correct.
Well, you know, you may have something there, because I was talking about a cluster of cancers in some of my friends in the restaurant business, and there is a connection in one sense that many of these restaurants, for example, the fellow in San Francisco, he sold a lot of prosciutto, which is salted pork. Okay, so there's an example. I don't know whether you saw nitrites in his salting process. So there's the smoked meat issue. The other guy ran an Italian restaurant. You know, people in the restaurant business nibble all the time on a lot of different foods, and the easiest foods to eat, I think, regularly while you're working so hard would be some of the cold cuts, so to speak, which are filled with nitrites. So there could be a putative link between those. Now, this is a very tough cancer, isn't it?
I thought I'd pass that along in case.
Well, let me send you a copy of Teddy and Me, because you're very sick. You're very brave to have listened and called the show, and I want you to have something to smile about over the next few days and weeks. Folks, when I come back, we're going to shift gears entirely into all new topics. It's going to be about life and living, not death and dying, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Master. 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 I should get white makeup and go on the stage. Yell and scream and rub my face in cornflakes. That moron's lost 40 employees, killed him so. Embracing Cruz like that? Licking his boots for 3 months? His whole career blew up. Everyone who backed Cruz, their ratings went into the toilet. Those of us who saw the future and had Trump on, the ratings went up. Had a huge April. Number one on WABC and many other stations across America. And yes, I'm going to tell you about it over and over again. Because if I don't, who will? If I'm not for myself, who will be? You? You'll tell everyone about it? The numbers were very good in April. Why? Why do you think my numbers were so big last month? It wasn't just Donald Trump. He was only on a few times. My shows have been better than ever. People in the business who are experts at radio tell me that. People who actually listen to radio, listen and actually hear. They hear something different. Something different than in my whole career. I don't know what it is exactly, but I would say today's not a great show. I'm unfocused. I can feel it. The allergies have fogged my brain up. The jasmine is in bloom. I hate jasmine. Isn't it an irony? Here I am. Part of my training is in botany. I love plants. And I dread the springtime because the flowers kill me. I don't know. Maybe I should be living in Lapland where the only living thing is like a lichen and a reindeer. I'm not allergic to reindeer, and I don't think lichens are allergenic. Who knows? Maybe in my next life I'll come back as a Laplander. Here's some headlines for you on the Savage Nation. If you care to join the show, the phone number is 855-407-282. 855-407-SAVAGE. 855-407-SAVAGE. If you can know a Savage, you'll reach more people than you ever met in your entire life. Here's some for you stoners out there. Fatal accidents involving stone drivers soared in Washington since pot was legalized. Go ahead. Keep driving stone and think that you're cool. You finally figured out that driving stone is dangerous, huh? There it is. The state of Washington legalized marijuana. And the study from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety said that high on pot has definitely been linked to many accidents. People who recently used marijuana more than doubled in their accidents in 2014. Pot involved in 17% of fatal crashes in Washington. Oh, you get the picture. Is that a shock to you? Not a shock to me. Corruption probe into Cuomo and de Blasio expands. That's a joke. A Democrat governor and a Democrat mayor in New York corrupt? That's impossible. Why, in California, there's no corruption in San Francisco. There are no steering of contracts to congressmen, congresswomen, senators. There's no steering of contracts from senators to their husbands. None at all. There's no corruption probes here in California because there's no corruption in California. That's why we have no attorney general. And that's why we have no U.S. attorney. We don't need them. In fact, I believe that the U.S. attorney who is here somewhere in the city, who does nothing, should leave the state and not be, because this state is so pure. There is so no corruption here that we don't need a U.S. attorney. And I believe that, in fact, the attorney general should leave the state because there's no crime in California. None. The only crime are people who have racism in their hearts or homophobia. And I guess they're getting to that soon. What else is in the news? Oh, this is so boring. Iran. Kerry should be in prison for what he did. So should Obama. They should be in prison. They lied about the whole... We knew that Iran was a terror nation. We knew Kerry was lying when he opened his mouth. We knew Obama was lying when he opened his mouth. I told you that over and over again, what he was saying was a lie. And what's going to happen as a result? Nothing. So that's why we give up on politics. That's all. All right, what do you want to talk about? WDRC in Connecticut. Sue, thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Sue?
Teddy and Me was my Mother's Day present. It arrived this morning. I've read three quarters of it, and it is wonderful. I love Teddy. Also, every word I can hear you talking, it's you and Teddy. It's not...
I understand. In other words, the words are so... Well, they're written by me. There's no ghostwriter, okay? So what you're reading is me. And you can hear the syntax is Michael Savage speaking, right? So who got you the book? Who bought you the book, Sue?
My husband pre-ordered it for me.
That's sweet. Did you see the pictures in the back with me holding a martini glass in the bar with Teddy next to me?
I haven't gotten there yet. I started at the beginning.
Oh, God. Well, okay. Well, in Chapter 9, there's a series of pictures where I'm wearing a jacket, and Teddy's wearing a matched jacket. I don't know how it happened, but we did. And there's a series of pictures of me drinking martinis. And I say, Teddy grew up frequenting a Basque restaurant near where I live. Now you say, what is he doing in the restaurant? I said, well, there's a couple of reasons he's always eaten there. Number one, in France, dogs are permitted in restaurants. Number two, the owner is a man who loves animals, who loves me and loves my work, and Teddy is never a problem, etc. It's well written because it's all true. And I really appreciate your taking the time out to call the program. Thank you very, very much. Let's go on to line number three now. Peter on KSFO in San Francisco. What's your topic, Peter?
Oh, that interview you just did about Spain. Yeah, that was fantastic. That was great. Don't sell yourself short. Remember, this is a Savage Nation for the listening person. So I listened to that great. That was fantastic.
But you know something? I listened to it as I was conducting the interview. I had not pre-interviewed him. And I was thinking, uh-oh, he's a little too academic for the average commercial audience. They're going to turn the show off. They're not interested in what happened under Muslims in medieval Spain, but you're saying you did.
Yes,
you found it interesting, right?
You know, I had a nickname given to me, Yankee Pete, and my name's actually Petri, but I got given that name because I'm a Yank from the U.S. when I lived in Finland, and anyway, so I got to know the Europeans, and I had a Spanish girlfriend from Andalusia, from Granada, and it's a mixed bag in Spain. It definitely is. I mean, the Catalonians, they want to break away and secede, and the Andalusians in their region, all these different regions in Spain, it's not easy to nail with just kind of a broad statement about the Spanish folks and how they feel about it. I mean, this...
Yeah, but I mean, his book was about how people believe that under Muslims there was harmony and peace when they conquered Spain. The opposite is true, though. That was the point of his book.
Yeah, and it, I'm not discrediting that at all. I'm just saying in this day and age, the way they look...
Yeah, but when I read about jihad and how the Muslims conquered Spain in such a short period of time then, and I look at what's going on in Germany and France, even in America, where virtually on a regular basis, here's another one, knife man cries Allahu Akbar as one killed and three seriously injured in German train attack. I say jihad is happening again, and they're trying to conquer the world all over again. Do you agree with me?
Oh, yeah, definitely, 100%. I mean, that time in Spain, it was an occupation. They knew it. They were overruled by it.
So the Muslim goes berserk in the train, and the German authorities who work for that Hitler, Merkel, says they do not believe the attack was linked to Islamist terrorism. He just had psychiatric problems. Can you believe this?
That's all insane stuff.
So in other words, they're committing genocide against the German people, and the leader of the German people is telling the German people, this is not genocide, they have mental aberrations, the ones who are doing it. It has nothing to do with the religion of peace. That is called national suicide. But we're not too far behind, are we, Petri?
You know, the blinders are on. You know, how far do these insane acts have to go before they wake up, before everybody wakes up?
Well, in 9/11, we saw what happened when Islamic terrorists got their hands on a few airplanes. So what has to happen? I pray to God it doesn't, but it will happen. With the patsies who are running this country today, and with the pacifist patsies who are running Europe today, it is inevitable that there's going to be a horrible, horrible, dirty bomb that goes off one of these days. And who are they going to blame then? The right wing? Will Merkel ever take responsibility for what she's done to Europe? Will Obama ever take responsibility for his big lie every day about the religion of peace and bringing in millions of these people? Take a look at America's cities today with the burkas and tell me that that's something that's ever going to cooperate with the United States of America. Ever. Never. Never. And that explains, by the way, why Donald Trump, one of the main reasons Trump rose was because he said he would build a wall and stop the flow of illegals from Mexico, A. And then he said, we're going to stop the Muslims from coming in until we can figure this thing out. Well, that set off shockwaves, but not amongst the average American. The average American said, that's a good thing. We have to stop this flow before it is too late. So who's right and who's wrong? You'll have to figure it out for yourself. 855-407-282 on another topic entirely. KBET in Las Vegas. James, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, James, what's on your mind?
Worked in a restaurant as a cook years ago. They were told by a cardiologist that you get that cancerous in the lungs, the esophagus, the throat, over time from breathing the fumes from the oil burning when you're cooking.
And isn't that so? Well, I suspected that the high heat in the kitchens were throwing off toxic byproducts, because I was saying two of my friends were in the restaurant business and they died of esophageal cancer. So you're confirming that one of your doctors told you that?
Oh, doctor used to come into the restaurant. I don't know if you're familiar with the original Joe's restaurant there in San Francisco.
Yeah, I know. Downtown. The old downtown original Joe's. I do. I remember it. Yes.
Yes, I worked for that up here in Eugene, Oregon in 1980 and 81 as a cook, a line cook. Worked my way up from prep and dishwashing to line cook.
Unbelievable. So are you still cooking?
No. It's in those years, the people did not respect cooking, you know.
So what'd you go into in Oregon? Marijuana growing? It's a booming business in America today to become a pot farmer. It's probably more lucrative than growing soybeans or corn. Because you have a nation of idiots who want to get high all the time. It's a good business to go into. In the new America, grow pot, sell marijuana, tell your daughter to consider different career choices, doctor, engineer, teacher, hooker. It's all the same in the new moralistic America. After all, you don't want the Christian right dictating any of the terms of America. Thank you for the call. WGAW in Massachusetts. Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
Topic is Saudi Arabia. The headgear that the Saudis wear has a black band around it. That is in mourning until they get Spain back.
Oh! And the Andalusian thing.
Correct. And then also, the whirling dervishes in the Maghreb in northern Africa, when they used to dance, they used to shout out Allah, Allah. And that today is, in Spain, the Muslims, ole, ole, meaning Allah, that's where it originated from. So I study that stuff.
Oh, you mean so when they're at a bullfight and they say ole, ole, they're saying Allah?
No, they're saying, you know, go for it, you know, that type of thing, but it originated with Allah, Allah, because...
Isn't that interesting? How nice. Well, you know, bullfighting, that barbaric, horrendous, anti-animal sport, should be outlawed. I've said so over the years. That, of course, originated in Muslim nations. You know that as well.
Correct.
Because they're a bloodthirsty cult in northern Africa. They love killing things and torturing animals and abusing women. There's no question about it. Just take a look at life in Africa, in northern Africa, and see how they treat women and how they treat animals. But I would say bring in as many of them as possible, because we all know multiculturalism is a good thing. And multiculturalism is such a good thing that wherever multiculturalism arises, the society benefits. Isn't that the official party line?
That's the party line, yes. But they do that around the world.
So where do you study these things, these obscure connections?
Well, I had gone to graduate school in Ohio, and then we had some... matter of fact, an Israeli professor that came in for a couple of years, and
he was a Zionist. He was a Zionist lying to you about these things, as you well know. Anyone who likes Israel is a bad person. Anyone who loves Arabia is a good person. And as you well know, all Muslims are peaceful, and all people from Israel are not peaceful. You know that. I mean, you're living in America today, and of course, you got to listen to the president on these things. He knows more than anybody. Correct. All right. Let's enough with the sarcasm. Because sometimes sarcasm works and sometimes it doesn't. The minute I come back, we have two open lines at 855-47282. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's a science story that's amazing, you know, and it proves that there may be aliens. And I would think that in our lifetimes, if I'm lucky enough, we'll find out that some of them are in the White House or have been. Scientists confirm existence of 1,284 more Milky Way planets, including 9 that could be Earth-like. Could you believe this? The number of validated planets discovered by NASA's Kepler Space Telescope more than doubles to about 2,325. These are new worlds, which feature a host of super-Earths and mini-Neptunes. 9 new planets are now being seen that could be Earth-like. What does that tell you? It tells you an awful lot, doesn't it? So who are the aliens amongst us? Well, there are 400 members of Congress. They're not acting like Americans. They're acting like transnationals. So I would think if there are aliens amongst us, some of them would be in Congress. Write that one down. Write that one down, because they're acting like aliens themselves. Whether they're actual aliens doesn't matter at all. They're performing like they're aliens, not from this planet. Okay? Gregory, KSFO, fire away. You have 1.5 minutes. What do you got to say?
Hello, Dr. Savage. I'm driving in a tractor trailer listening to you on my telephone heading to Philadelphia. I listen to BOB because it's the only station that I like that gives me all 3 of your hours. Now, I was listening to this interview with that author about the Andalusian and all that stuff, and something he said brought it right back to today. He said something about the Muslim man being worth more than the Christians and the Jews. Well, that explains why the Justice Department doesn't want to prosecute the guy who was responsible for Ambassador Chris Stevens' death, because he's worth more than Ambassador Chris Stevens, according to...
Oh, I see. So the Justice Department is looking at it from the point of view of Sharia law. So the Muslim murderer of Ambassador Stevens, from the point of view of Islamic law, is not really a murder, because he wasn't a Muslim who was killed, from your point of view. Very interesting. See what you could learn from history. How do you like that? I didn't know that Loretta Lynch was copying Sharia law. I thought she was following the U.S. Constitution. How would I know? All right, my friend in the tractor trailer, sending you a copy of Teddy and Me, because I know you're going to love it. On those long hauls, just watch out for those lot lizards all across America. No one even knows what that phrase means anymore. That's a funny phrase. It really is. Another half hour to go. One open line, 855-487-282.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now.
So Donald Trump gave an AP interview saying he's narrowed the vice president shortlist down. I noticed that he's moving more to AP and NBC, Meet the Press, no more talk radio. I guess he doesn't need us anymore. He'll be back at some point, but he's not going to be back for a while. That's okay. He says, I have a list of people I would like, and blah, blah, blah. He's not ruled out Chris Christie, blah, 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 and who'll be the right. Just whatever he does, not Sarah Palin, that's all I ask. I mean, I could help him on this because I know the audience for his vote. I know his voting audience better than anyone. But apparently he doesn't need the show anymore. I think he's got the geniuses around him who do know America better than I do. His campaign manager is Corey Lewandowski, who has been chosen, by the way, to run the vetting effort for the vice president. And it's a group that includes Ben Carson and Trump himself. So that's good. As long as they don't pick Sarah Palin. Because she is so yesterday, and she is so filled with baggage, from the reality TV show to the family stuff. It's unbelievable to me. I don't know why he's doing this. I have no idea why he's doing this right now, and he shouldn't be doing it. He should focus only on getting through the nomination process and then worry about the vice president. Don't do what that jerk did, whatever his name is. Cruzio? What was his name? Cruzio? Yeah, Cruzio. Cruzio loses five states and then says, here's my vice presidential pick. And as she comes out, she's already vice president, falls off the stage. An invisible hand comes up and pulls her down. Unbelievable. Kyle on KVOR Radio. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Kyle?
Hey, I just wanted to say you're great. You've converted me from a lot of hosts I used to listen to for a few years now. And, you know, you just nail it. It's spot on every time. And, you know, I really don't have too many disagreements with you. I just
what are you listening to me on a radio or on an iPhone?
Radio.
And KVOR is your local station, right?
Yes, sir.
So what city do you live in actually?
I live in Payton, Colorado. It's about 25 miles east of Colorado Springs.
Let me ask you something. I mean, I'm very serious about this. Like when I fly over America and I look down at the mountainous areas, let's say even in Colorado, Wyoming, and I see these sparsely lit, little, tiny, little villages, you know. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, somewhat. It might be our bonfires, though.
Yeah, no, but I see people living in such remote areas. Sure, they're on the grid. They have electricity and all, and there's a road going to some town where they can shop, and you get television and cable. What is it like living in such a remote world as that, I wonder to myself? I couldn't do it. I mean, I occasionally need to go into San Francisco and see what's going on in the so-called world in order to know what's going on in the world. And I see people walking around in a fog. They don't even know what's going on around them. Yet they make a living. They get dressed in the morning. They put on pants. They ride a bus. Anyway, thanks for calling. Teddy and me goes out to you for listening to the show and calling it. What do you want to talk about? Oh, these are good calls. Yes, indeedy. Kyle and KVOR, thanks for calling from the mountains of Colorado. WTMA in South Carolina. Daniel, you're up on the Savage Nation. What mind?
Well, Dr. Savage, I want to say you started my political awakening probably around the 2003-2004 time frame. I worked a night job, and so I listened to you, and it really started waking me up at what was going on. I want to say that I've been a Cruz guy from the beginning. And, you know, I listen to you and I listen to a lot of other conservative radio. And I am going to vote for Trump. There's no doubt about it. My other option is Hillary. And I try to tell myself that, you know, you, I believe, are a very smart man. There's no doubt about it. I think you and Trump are very much alike in that you have an ego in a good way. And your ego is such that You have such a big ego that you can't be wrong, that I don't think y'all can be wrong. It would hurt your ego too much.
No, I don't like, I don't, wait, hold, no, that's a very important point. You are correct, but there is no one who has succeeded in talk radio, or I should say in any endeavor on earth, who does not have a monster-sized ego. I don't care whether it's the most obscure science, or in music, or in painting. If you study people who succeed wildly, they all have big egos. Now, having said that, there are people with large egos who also recognize that they are fallible. They can be wrong. I'm one of them. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I admit when I'm wrong. But I haven't been wrong too much lately. I've been right. I'm the first one in major radio who picked Trump as the winner, and I will take credit for that. The others bet on someone who lost, and they will not take credit for having picked a loser. But if you look at the ratings that are going on in radio from last month, they have collapsed. All those who back Cruz have collapsed. Their shows have collapsed. The people have heard, and they made a decision. Not only did they vote in the primaries, they voted on the radio as well and on television. The people are listening, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Now, having said that, do you think that I'm too egotistical for the show? Is that it? Should I be more humble?
No, it makes me want to listen to you more.
You caught me off guard with that one. Well, why is it that an over-the-top egoist would attract your attention?
Well, I guess if you didn't have an ego, then you wouldn't be confident. And it goes hand in hand that you're confident. And so with you being smart, having an ego, you're confident. And I think that your ego, like I say, doesn't want you to be wrong. Your ego is just driving you to be right. And I'm counting on your ego, Dr. Savage.
It's interesting. Ego ergo sumo. All right. Well, I'm going to think about that, because there's no one who succeeds in any endeavor who doesn't have a large ego. The most humble professor working in an obscure science is doing so with a big ego. They're not driven by very much else. Some people are not driven by greed. They're driven by a desire to be recognized for how intelligent they are. Would you call that egotistically driven or what? Or a search for the truth? How do you separate the two? I don't know the answer, David, but I'm going to send you a copy of Teddy and Me, because my dog has a bigger ego than I do. He's just more clear about it than I am. He doesn't miss a twig or a tree. You walk him down the street, you know Teddy has been there. That's all I can say. This little guy has no idea how small he is. In that sense, he's like all men. We have no idea how small we really are. We are just a grain of sand in the universe. And if you think I don't know it, you're mistaken. I know it every day of the week. I know exactly how big and how small I am and you are. And if you look at what just came out that I told you in the last segment, it's amazing. Scientists confirm the existence of 1,284 more Milky Way planets, including 9 that could be Earth-like. Sometimes at night, if I'm watching television, I like to watch the NASA channel, and I look at the Kepler Space Telescope. I cannot believe how far advanced we are as a society. Well, I should say as a civilization, that while we're stuck on the ground here with throwbacks like I cannot believe, the media focuses on the throwbacks in the gutter, the homeless bums, the degenerates, the criminals, the invaders, the junkies, the shooters, the loudmouths, the rioters. And then I see people in NASA who are doing things that man could only have dreamed about not so long ago, and we never see them portrayed in the mainstream media, do we? Never. And then on the ground, what do we have? We have police who have to pick up the trash of the world. The police are the garbage men of society. And look what happened in San Francisco today. It's enough to make you sick. By a greedy prosecutor. 2 sheriff's deputies charged in San Francisco alleyway beating, caught on video. Now, they don't want you to know the beginning of the story. This piece of garbage led them on a 100-mile-hour chase through 3 cities. And he threatened them. And when they got him in an alley, he threatened them again. And they were fearful for their life. So they took out the batons. They couldn't subdue this animal. And they beat him with batons. And some great citizen up in a window, some brave citizen up in a window, caught them on a cell phone and sent it to some wonderful, distinguished prosecutor looking to make a name for himself, who has just charged them with a crime of beating the poor man. Deputies to face assault in beating of Stanislav Petrov in SF Mission Alley. 2 Alameda County Sheriff's deputies were charged with assault with a deadly weapon, assault on the color of authority, and battery for beating an auto theft suspect with batons in a Mission District alley. San Francisco DA George Gascon, another wonderful human being. So they charged two deputies, Paul Weber and Luis Santamaria, in the felonies, in the beating of 29-year-old Stanislav Petrov. Now, if you look at the whole story, ask yourself what you would do if you had just conducted a 100-mile-an-hour chase in a situation like this. And ask yourself if anyone could be a policeman in the sickest area in the whole world, especially operating with a piece of garbage like this Gascon, looking out for the criminal instead of for the cop. How could you be a policeman in this area? Petrov's mother, Olga Petrov, said in an interview that the charges didn't go far enough, that the deputies and others should be held responsible for what they did. Really? Is that true? Poor little boy, Mr. Petrov. But we don't know about the crime. Did you know about the crime? Another great public defender, Jeff Adachi, another prize of the communist left. The fact of the matter is, they're saying, oh, he put his hands up, and he was ready to give up. Really, ask the deputies what they were feeling at the time and whether their lives were threatened enough. But okay, this is what the world is today. I don't know. Anybody could be a cop. I don't know. Anybody can be a state trooper in this country with the liberal vermin in every office in the land. The liberal vermin in the legal profession, the liberal vermin who attack police every day. It should only happen to them that a guy like this, that the cops subdued, should come to their house and come to their house to break in, and let's see who they call. See if they call the ACLU. See if they call Gascon to protect them then. And this is the thing. Petrov was not charged with any crimes related to the car chase. But he's in custody in a Marin County jail on a federal gun and drug charge. Oh, so he was charged in Marin on some other charges, the doll. His mother said he became uncontrollable as a result of post-traumatic stress. Really? Isn't that nice? I hope to God that some good lawyers protect these sheriffs before we are without police whatsoever. Because once the sheepdogs are gone, the wolves will tear your throat out. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. Very nice. All right, so there's a high-speed chase. This bum, drug dealer, steals a car, tries to avoid arrest by ramming a police car. He endangers lots of people with a 30-minute high-speed chase on the 880 freeway. Across the Bay Bridge with a gun and drugs in the seat next to him. He tries to flee on foot. He doesn't comply with the orders of the sheriff's deputies, and they catch him. He threatens them, and they hit him with batons and some piece of garbage in a window. Some coward up there takes a picture of it, and now the cops are going to trial because of the coward called Gascon. His name says it all. How in the world can the police permit a man like this to do this to the police? Who is going to take this job with such a violent district attorney in town? The name says it all, Gascon. The gas that comes out of this man's head is nothing but a gigantic con. But I'm asking a bigger question. Leave it to San Francisco or Alameda to charge the officers instead of the perpetrator after a dangerous high-speed chase. What is the world? How can we live in a world like this? Oh, I know. The police had no right to hit him with the baton. They shouldn't be police officers after they were on the 100-mile chase over the bridge and through, you know, streets. They should have asked the gentleman if he would please be, would he mind being escorted into the back of the police car? And I'm sure Stanislav Petrov would have complied. That's the way it would be done in a court of, in a law school. How in the world can they take this job? Another headline could be SF officers make car thief into millionaire in 40 seconds. Oh, the lawyers who take these cases. Don't get me started on them. Alameda County sheriffs, can you believe this? Who is the person who took this video? Can someone give us their name and address? Maybe we could have them on the show. Maybe the person who took the video of this beating in the alley by the sheriff's deputies after the 100-mile-an-hour chase would like to come on the Savage Nation and explain why she or he took this video in order to burn the police. The next time they go out, let's say in the street, and they're assaulted by a thug, who will they call? The ACLU? They'll dial 1-800-ACLU? I don't know how anybody could be a cop. I don't know how anyone could take the job. Vladimir Petrov. Aggravated assault on an officer when he rammed the car with his car. He was known to do other things, such as pimping out underage girls in Oakland. He was a convicted felon who had a stolen firearm under his seat after he took cops in a high-speed pursuit through SF, endangering hundreds of lives. He got picked up and is now being charged by the feds for those crimes. And yet the police now are being charged by the communist, leftist, greedy Gas Khan. Gas Khan. Gas Khan. You know, after a high-speed chase, you know what happens to the pursuing officers, don't you? Do you know what happens? You know what you have to do in order to conduct a high-speed chase? You know what your adrenaline is like? You know what happens to you when that chase stops? Human beings have a difficult time after a chase like that in controlling the adrenaline. This guy should be held responsible not only for the crimes that he committed, but for provoking what came afterwards and for trying to ruin the lives of two sheriff's deputies. But, of course, the mother is cheering this on. If you were the mother, wouldn't you like the payday that you're going to get from your criminal son? Finally, this ne'er-do-well son of yours is going to produce some money for you so you can go back to the motherland? I mean, it's hard living on welfare here in America as an immigrant. And so it's good to have your son go on a high-speed chase and engage the police that way and take a nice beating. Just think of the money you're going to have. Think how you can live so well off the money when you get a nice lawyer to sue the police. If anyone knows the address or the name of the individual who took the pictures, will you call the Savage Nation tomorrow so we can invite that fine human being on the Savage Nation? That's it. Thanks for making the show number one on so many stations across the country. Good night.